Well, welcome back to the Servolution. I am so glad you're here today. And before we end today, I'm going to give everyone in this room an opportunity to join that Servolution. But before we go there, here's what I want to do. I want to look at eight of the most difficult passages, I believe, in the entire Bible. So here's what I want you to do. Turn to the book of Romans. You can find the book of Romans in the New Testament. It's after the Gospels, after the book of Acts. And we are going to look at the very first eight verses of chapter 12. Now, in case you don't have your Bible with you, or in case you can't reach a pew Bible, I put it in your outline because these words are so important today. Now, do you remember your very first time on one of these? Do you remember your very first time on a diving board? I remember my very first time on a diving board like it was yesterday. I was in second grade. And what our school would do every year is during the winter, we had this indoor pool. We would go for a week and they would try to teach everyone to swim. And here's the cool thing is, as they were teaching to swim and going through those motions, what they would do is they'd give you a test every day. And once you completed a certain test, then you were given the freedom to go off the high dive. Now, I don't know if you remember the first time going off the high dive, but we were so excited. We'd swim so hard and we'd pass that test. And I never forget going to that moment, going over there and starting to climb up that ladder. You know, it didn't seem real high at the beginning, did it? But once you start climbing up that ladder, once you got to the very top and you stood on this skinny board and you looked down, you looked around, all of a sudden fear kicks in, right? Well, I was no different as a second grader. When I got to the top of that board and I was holding on that rail for my dear life, and people were going, hurry up, jump. And the little girl's going, you're a chicken, go, you know? And I remember standing there and almost just my knees were locked and I was frozen. Like, do I really want to do this? But it was too late. I mean, when you get to the top of the diving board, you're at the point of no return. There's 40 kids behind you trying to climb up. And I remember looking over at the lifeguard, and the lifeguard just going, you know, like, hurry up, you're holding the line. And so I remember getting right to the edge and just kind of closing my eyes and just falling off the diving board. And I'll never forget, I hit the water, it came up out of the water, I was okay, my shorts were still on, you know, and I said, that was cool. And so I ran, got back in line and started doing it over and over and over again. See, sometimes we don't realize how fantastic things are until we just jump in. Isn't that true? Isn't it true with food? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've got a real, I mean, people know me, my palate is really basic. I'm from the Midwest, you know, meat and potatoes, throw a biscuit, some sweet tea, I'm good to go every night of the week. So when I came to Florida, friends kept going, hey, let's go have sushi. I'm like, sushi? What's sushi? They're going, it's raw fish. I'm like, raw fish? I mean, that's bait where I come from. Why do I want to eat raw fish, you know? And so after years and years of trying, one of my friends, Floyd, finally took me out one night and said, you got to try it. And I tried it, and I loved it. It was great. It was good. Doesn't that happen sometimes with different foods? I remember hummus. You guys know what hummus is? And just look, see, you're laughing because you think the same thing I'm just looking at it. Like, I don't want anything to do with that, you know? And I, for years, wouldn't eat hummus. In fact, on our very first trip to Israel, Dave Beach was like, you got to eat this hummus. We're in Israel. I mean, this is where they make it. It's good stuff. I'm like, yuck, you know? And then earlier this year, we were doing a fast, and hummus is one of the only things that I could eat on this fast. And so without any other options, I ate it, and now I eat hummus every single day. See, sometimes we don't realize how fantastic things are until we just take the plunge, until we just dive in. And so today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, to take the plunge. And if you haven't already done it, I'm going to ask you to join the Servolution. Now, you might remember last week, we talked about how everyone in the family of God, that biblically and spiritually, every single one of us have something to bring to the team. Every single one of us. And remember last week that we have a title. It's a little awkward, it's a little weird, it's strange to some of us. But the Bible said that we are all priests. Remember, we talked about the priesthood of all believers and how there really is no line of separation between clergy and laity, that we are all clergy. And remember, Jesus then came along and he said, you know what, he modeled, he said, you're supposed to serve other people, and he did this with his life. And then what did Jesus say after that? Jesus said, come and follow me, take up your cross and follow me. I mean, think about that invitation, because here's what he was really saying. He was saying, come and die. I mean, that was Jesus' invitation. Now, I can't imagine there's huge long lines for that, all right? But here's the cool thing, because University of Michigan, they did a study and found out quite the opposite is true. That those people who serve, who volunteer, they are 60% more likely to live longer than those who do not. So I'm just thinking, I mean, a great recruiting slogan around Christ Church, we can put it on the side of the building, volunteer or die, you know? I mean, that's got a great ring to it, doesn't it? Well, as we jump into what Paul was saying here in verse 12, here's what we see from Paul. Paul is encouraging every one of us, every ordinary person, to just simply take the plunge, to just dive in and make yourself available to God to do extraordinary things in your life. So let's see where we start here. It begins in verse 1. This is what he says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. And let's just push pause for a second. It says, in view of the old rugged cross, in view of the sacrifice that was made for you. It says, in view of the fact that God has forgiven your sin, in view of the fact that your guilt has been removed, in view of the fact that God has given you a blueprint for your life in this book called the Bible, in view of the fact that he has given you the Holy Spirit to be in you and to empower you and to encourage you, in view of the fact that you've been adopted into the family of God and have been given an opportunity to join him forever in heaven, in view of his mercy. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see what it's saying there is to offer your body. And Paul is saying here that God wants all of you, not just part of you. He wants all of you. And the amazing thing about God is God knows everything about us. He knows our inadequacies. He knows our failures. He knows our sins. He knows our faults. And he still says, I want you. I love you. I want your body as a living sacrifice. Now, you got to know when Paul wrote these words, a living sacrifice was something completely out of the picture. I mean, the Old Testament times and time before Jesus showed up on the scene, when people would make a sacrifice, they'd go out and they'd kill an animal. They'd take that dead animal and put it on the altar. There was no personal sacrifice at all. I mean, they'd just go out and find an animal, kill it, and put it on the altar. There was no personal cost to that at all. But when it says, when I become a living sacrifice, when it's me, and that cost is great. That cost is huge. Now, it's not hard for me to sacrifice somebody else. I mean, Dave Lawson, if I want to sacrifice Dave Lawson, it wouldn't be as difficult as sacrificing Dave Lawson as it is me, right? And it's easy to sacrifice, not that I would do that, all right? I love Dave, okay? But the reality is it's easier to sacrifice someone else. But when it comes to us, it comes to me, it's difficult to make that sacrifice. And so what Paul is saying here in verse 1 is the appropriate response to a sacrifice that Jesus Christ made is to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the appropriate response. In view of his mercy, in view of his forgiveness, in view of the fact that he has removed your guilt, in view of the fact that you've been adopted into his family, in view of the fact that you've been given the Holy Spirit, simply say, here I am, God. I am wholly committed to you. You see, church, what Paul is saying here is that right there is true worship. That is true worship. And it presents, when we present ourselves to God in that way, when we honor the living sacrifice that Jesus made when he gave his life on the cross, when he died, and when he rose again, to present ourselves to God wholly and fully as a living sacrifice. Now, it's one thing for us to talk about this on kind of a high level, kind of this spiritual or biblical or mystical level, but it's a whole other thing to talk about how this plays out in our day-to-day life, how it practically plays out. So let's simply ask this question today. How do you express yourself as a living sacrifice? How do you express yourself as a living sacrifice? And here's the truth. It probably looks a little different for everybody in this room based on how God made you. You see, when I went to the swimming pool as a kid, what I realized quickly was that there were a lot of kids lined up to go jumping off the diving board. I mean, there'd be 40, 50 kids in a line wrapped around, everyone on the ladder and getting ready to jump off. And when they jumped off, here's what I noticed. Everybody jumped off the diving board in a different way. They did. I mean, some people do a cannonball. Other people do a can opener. Some people do swan dive. Some people would just kind of fall off. Some people would scream. Some people would hold their nose. Some people would do flips. They would all jump off the diving board in a different way. Well, God made you and me in a different way. And how we express ourselves, how we express ourselves as a living sacrifice is going to be different based on how God has made you. It's going to be different. Well, let's see what Paul says as we continue to unpack this. He goes on to say, for by the grace given to me, he's saying here we need to evaluate ourselves. This is what he's getting to. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. In other words, what he's saying right there, don't overestimate yourself. But then he goes on to say, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. What he's saying there? Don't underestimate yourself. Don't do that either. But he goes on to say, evaluate yourself in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Now jump down to verse 6. It says this in verse 6. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So notice this. It says that we all have different gifts that we are to evaluate with sober judgment what the gifts are that God has placed in every one of us. I love this definition of what a spiritual gift is. It's from David Timms, and here's what he says. He says, a spiritual gift is any ability or activity empowered by the Holy Spirit, blessed by the Father, to draw people closer to Christ. You see, part of God's grace in our life, in addition to saving us, is giving us the gift in our life that we can use to grow the kingdom of God. But we all, every single one of us in this room, have a different set of gifts. We're not just a bunch of divine duplicates that look the same, talk the same, act the same, have the same gifts. We all, every one of us, have different gifts. I mean, you are who you are by the grace of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. We all have different gifts, and God determines what those gifts are. It reminds me of the first grade teacher who went into the classroom and saw one of her little girls in class and went up to her and said, honey, your shoes are on the wrong feet. And the little girl looked back to her and said, these are the only feet I have. You see, God just determines them. God just determines. So if you have, right now, if you have your outline out, here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your outline and I want you to flip to the back where it says spiritual gifts. It has spiritual gift definitions. Get that out and look at it, because we're going to go through this for the next couple minutes. And what I did on here is I put a couple places in Scripture where it lists different spiritual gifts. But right now, what I want to do is kind of break down these that you see on the sheet, because these are the ones that Paul talks about here in Romans chapter 12. But here's what I want you to do as we're doing this. As we're going through this, I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think how God has wired you up. And as we go through these, what I want you to do is with a pen or pencil, just take a moment and say, you know what? I think this one matches me. I think this one matches me. Circle one or two, no more than one or two, you know. Circle one or two of these things as we go through this and think about how God has wired you up. So let's look at what Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Here's what he says. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, when we hear that word prophesying, a lot of times we think of someone telling the future. But you see, the gift of prophecy usually refers to providing guidance for people. It usually refers to bringing God's truth, God's direction, by challenging them to go in a new direction, by encouraging them, by sometimes calling them to repentance. That's what the word prophecy means. Now, if you like telling people what to do, you might have the gift of prophecy. It's true. It's amazing how many of us marry someone with this gift, right? I'm kidding, honey. I'm kidding, I promise. That's not your gift, I know. But anyway, the gift of prophecy. Now let's move on. Verse 7. If it's serving, let him serve. Now, serving is also known as the gift of helps. That's how it's listed here in our gifts. And people with the gift of helps, typically, they like to do things behind the scenes. They usually like to do things with their hands. They usually like to be a part of a project they can work on and work to completion. And let me tell you, around Christ Church, we have so many people who use this gift every week. People who build things and paint stuff and stuff stuff and cut stuff and set stuff up. We could not do it without people using their helps gifts at Christ Church. And verse 7 continues, it says this, if it's teaching, let him teach. You see, teaching is the supernatural ability to understand the word of God and then to apply it to someone's life in a way that the light kind of comes on. I mean, every teacher who stands in front of a group of people, they want that light to come on. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're standing in front of a group of seven-year-olds in our small group program for elementary kids, if you're standing in front of our middle school or high school kids in Fuel or Engage, or if you're in a Sunday morning class or you're teaching a Wednesday night class, if you're going to stand in front of a neighborhood group, every teacher wants to be able to teach in a way where the light comes on for those who are listening. That's the gift of teaching. Well, verse 8 says this, if it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. You see, people with the gift of encouragement just have this sixth sense to know how to come alongside of you, to come up next to you when your spirit is sagging. I mean, whether it's someone in their neighborhood, someone in the hallway, someone in a hospital, someone here at church, someone in their family room, they just have this incredible ability to come alongside you in those moments and give you words of encouragement, give you words of inspiration. I mean, that's the gift of encouragement. Well, verse 8 continues, it says this, if it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, well, does that mean if I don't have the gift of giving, I don't have to give at church anymore? That's not what that means, all right? The Bible says that we are all supposed to be generous, that we all are supposed to be givers, and that the basic beginning starting point for giving and being generous is the tithe, 10%. But there are people in this church who have the gift of giving who want to give above and beyond to see ministry happen here at this church. And I can't tell you, church, how it does my heart so good when all of a sudden we just receive out of the blue a letter with a check and a note that says, you know what? Go do ministry with this. Go change the world with this. Because there are people in this church that have that gift of giving and able to give above and beyond to make difference in this world with their resources. That's the gift of giving. Well, verse 8 continues, it says this, if it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. You see, at every corner of this church, right now as we're in here, there are teams of people out serving. And every one of those teams have people leading them. So what does it mean to be a leader? Well, I love John Maxwell's quote about leadership. And here's what he says. He says, he who thinketh they leadeth, but hath no one following him, is only taking a walk. Got to ask yourself the question, is anybody following you? And finally, here's what Paul concludes as we're going through these examples in Romans 12, 8. He says these words, if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You see, people who have the mercy gift have this great ability to come alongside people when they're at their lowest moments. Come alongside people who are in pain or who are in need and express it in such practical, meaningful ways. I mean, that's why I love our team around here, the emergency response team. There's something ever happened in this room, and it's happened before. Somebody gets sick, something goes on, they immediately respond and take care of those needs. If something happens anywhere on this campus during a weekend service, this team jumps up, and with their experience and what God has given them, they jump in immediately and make a difference. It's incredible. And what Paul is saying here is if you have that gift of mercy, when you do it with joy. Do it cheerfully. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to grab this list back out again right now, all right? And I want you to look at this list. And just take a second, and I just want you with a pen or pencil, maybe circle one or two things that you think that God made you, the gifts that maybe are in you. And some of you right now, I know you're wigging out a little bit. Because here's what you're thinking. If I circle this right now, is this going to, if I get it wrong, are they going to let me serve? Hey, relax, okay? This is just a guess. This is just an educated guess. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes when you serve, maybe you're serving in not the right place, it doesn't mean God can't use you. He will still use you. But my encouragement to you is to plug in where you believe God can use you the best. Plug in where you think you can make the greatest impact on the kingdom. Because maybe you think you're a teacher, but yet you never even taught your dog how to fetch. Well, jump in and try it out and see if that's your gift. Or maybe you think your gift is the gift of hospitality. Well, create some environments. Maybe in your home, create a hospitable environment for your family and for your friends and for your neighbors. Maybe host a neighborhood group there. Maybe join our First Impressions team to welcome visitors here at Christ Church. If that's your gift of hospitality, try it. Maybe you think your gift is the gift of craftsmanship. That you're really good building or painting and engineering things. Man, we could use a ton of you at this church. So put that gift to work. Maybe you think your gift is cooking. If you think that's your gift, my gift is eating. Invite me over. I'll let you know whether or not that is your gift or not, all right? So just take a moment, circle one or two things on your sheet and let me know what those are. Send me an email, hit me on my Facebook page, say, hey, these are my gifts. And maybe if you want to spend a little more time digging into that, on our website, we have this great little thing. It's a spiritual gift inventory where you can actually take this little 5 to 10 minute quiz and it will tell you exactly how God has wired you up. So take that, figure out what your spiritual gifts are. And not only do we have to ask that question, how? All right, how are we supposed to jump off the board? I mean, what's our spiritual gift? But there's a second question I think that we need to ask today, and it's simply this question: where are you going to leap? Where are you going to leap? Because you see, there are so many places where you can serve. Now, I don't know if you remember going to the pool, and many of us have gone to the pool all summer long, but when you go to the pool, there are a ton of people at the pool, right? And there are people all over the pool. They're all at the pool, but they're all doing different things. I mean, think about it. There's always a group of people over on the high dive, getting ready to jump off the high dive, or the kids over on the little springboard doing kind of flips and somersaults and acrobatic things. And then you got people at the baby pool, which I never understood. You mean babies, diapers, and water? And like, you know, I just thinking about it makes me a little queasy. Then you got people hanging out and splashing around in the shallow end, and people on floats, and people doing the water slides. I mean, you have some people never even get in the water. I mean, they go there just to soak up some rays and hang out in their Chase lounge. You have people who go to the pool. When they do, all they do is swim lap after lap after lap. But see, here's the thing. There are all these people at the pool. And what are they doing at the pool? They're doing the thing that they enjoy to do the most. And sometimes when God calls you to join, to jump in, to be a part of something, sometimes it lines up exactly how you think. It lines up with your job. It lines up with your career. But other times it doesn't quite line up. Other times it's not exactly what you would expect it to be. And this is true all the way through history. I mean, think about Peter and Andrew. Remember those disciples? What was their job? What was their job when Jesus called them to be a disciple? You remember what they did? They were what? Fishermen. They were fishermen, nets and fish and boats all day long. I mean, you would have thought Jesus would have come and said, hey guys, all right, come in here. Here's what I want you to do. You guys are gonna be in charge of water transportation, all right? That's gonna be your job. Or he'd pull and say, hey guys, you know what? Your job is gonna be food services. That's what I want you to do. But what did Jesus say? I want you to be writers. I want you to be teachers. I want you to be evangelists. I mean, it was something completely different than their past, than their background. Sometimes it's opposite of what we expect. But other times, like the Apostle Paul, it lines up. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy who had this razor-sharp intellect. Here's a guy who knew the Jewish law forwards and backwards. And when he became a believer, a Christ follower, he began to put that razor-sharp knowledge to work. He put that understanding of the law to work and created arguments and defenses for who Jesus really was, defending the fact that he truly was God's son, that he truly was the one who was called to be a part of saving the world. He put that to work. Because sometimes when God calls us, it's exactly what we expect. And other times, it's completely out of the box. And we see that all the time when people go on mission trips around Christ Church. I mean, we see that. We see that when people go on mission trips because they'll go on mission trips and we'll have a bunch of people go on these trips. And some people will come and their background is construction. And they show up and they're ready to use what they know. They're ready to put it to work what they do every single day of the week. Then there are other people who that's not their background. But they show up and they're just as good as everybody else. And it's incredible how God just aligns those people to complete a project. It happens around here every week. I mean, we have teachers, elementary teachers who teach in the elementary schools every single day of the week. They come here on the weekend and lead a small group. It's incredible. And then we have people who don't teach every day but come here and do it just as well. It's amazing what happens when people bring their gifts and bring their careers to work. I mean, we have people of all different backgrounds around this church. We have people who are doctors and lawyers and nurses and food service specialists and people who work in retail, people who are managers, accountants, engineers, you name it. And all those people bring their gifts, bring their abilities to this place for God to use. And sometimes when you jump in, it's exactly what you expect it to be. And other times, it's something completely, completely different. Here's what I want you to do. In your outline or in your bulletin this weekend, you'll see another sheet in there. And it should say at the top, Servolution. Pull that out real quick. Because I want to take a couple minutes and talk about where you can dive in and where you can jump in. And let me go through a couple of these things. Right now, you'll see a top little pool there with a little person getting ready to jump off a diving board into the family ministry pool. I mean, our family ministry, our children's ministry, our youth ministries, nursery, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, This is an incredible place, incredible group of people doing ministry. We have so many needs in this area for people working in the nursery, people to work on supply teams and prep teams during the week, we help with our God's Gang choir for our kids, help with all kinds of things that we need. And there are tons of different opportunities, Saturdays, Sundays, Monday through Friday, to join this team, to dive into this pool. But right now we have a couple really important needs that we need to make you aware of. One of the things we really truly need in all of our areas, especially elementary and middle school and high school, are really good small group leaders. People willing to invest their time, invest their life into kids. And let me tell you, many of you parents in this room have kids who their small group leaders made a difference in them. And I just want to encourage you, if you think, hey, maybe I can do that, dive into this pool. We also need help in our Access Junction ministry, our ministry to kids and families with special needs. What a phenomenal ministry. And we need more buddies. We need more people to be able to help out there. So that's one pool you can jump into, the family ministry pool. Another pool, the First Impressions pool. And you know that pool very well, because you cannot walk into this church without the First Impressions team just coming and greeting you and making you feel like this is home for you. From the guys in the parking lots, the people at the Welcome Center and the cafe and the Source, the people handing out bulletins, we have all kinds of opportunities for you to dive into this pool. But right now, a couple of our needs that we really need, we need people to help pass out communion. People just to simply get up and pass a tray. I mean, if you're interested in doing that, then please sign up for that. We also need people helping out in our family ministry guest services. As we continue to have more and more visitors every week, we need more people there to make that go as smooth as possible. And guys, we also need people in the parking lot. All right, I know you drive in the morning, you go, oh, those parking people, but man, I tell you what, we couldn't do it without them. So if you're interested in helping out, we'd love to help have you jump into that pool, just the First Impression pool. Another area, another pool you can jump in is the worship and media pool. I mean, these guys up here on the weekend in the booth do a phenomenal job. And if you have creative talents and creative abilities, if you like technology, you like cameras, the sound and lights, if you like stage managing, then we have positions for you. If you like to sing, you like to play an instrument, then we definitely have places for you. And right now, a couple of the hot needs we have are people to join our production crew. I mean, to pull these services off every weekend, it takes a lot of people with a lot of gifts and talents to make it happen. And so we need people there. We also need people to help out during the week with our stage. I mean, we tear the stage down every week and rebuild it. We need help doing that. So that's a pool you can jump in. Another pool you can jump in is the neighborhood pool. And we're going to be talking a whole lot about that in the days ahead. But we need more neighborhood group leaders. I think right now we have about 95 people committed to leading a neighborhood group, which is phenomenal, which surpasses even our goals for ourselves. But we know as we launch this, we are going to need more. So if you would love to lead a neighborhood group, then we want to get you engaged in that. We have other needs that are going to pop up from that with host homes. And we're going to have tons of needs within our neighborhood groups once they get rolling here in a couple weeks. So these are a couple pools that you can jump into. And if you're interested in any of these pools, one of these pools, all I want to encourage you to do is just circle the pool that you might be interested in. Circle that pool. Because you see, the two most important questions that we need to simply ask is, one, how do I dive in? I mean, what is my spiritual gift? And second question is, where? Where do I dive in? Where do I do that? But you know what? I think there is actually a third question that might be actually the most important question that we should ask. And here's what that question is, because it's important to know how, what our spiritual gift is, and where to dive in. But I think the most important question is, will I take the plunge? Will I jump in? Because, you know, I know a lot of people who will talk about it. I know a lot of people who are, I can't say that in church. Let me come back to, okay. I know a lot of people who might be a little something retentive, all right? And they'll think a whole lot on this thing. They'll spend a lot of hours, a lot of time just kind of staring at their navel, kind of thinking this through, and they get this analysis of paralysis, paralysis of analysis thing going on. And they can't even make a decision. They get so caught up in thinking about it that they never even take the plunge. And I think that's the most important question we have. Will you take the plunge? Well, listen to what Paul says. He talks about this in verse 1, and I'm going to tack on verse 2. Here's what he says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now jump down to the second part of verse 2. Then, after you've done that, after you've offered your body as a living sacrifice, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you see the connection there? You see the connection of offering yourself as a living sacrifice and then being able to test and approve what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is? First, you got to take the leap. First, you got to jump in, and then God will show you what his will is. In other words, it's the act of offering yourself. And when you offer yourself, then he will reveal to you exactly what his will is. A mentor of mine, that fellow preacher, used to always say these words, Ben Merrill, he used to always say, you can't steer a motorcycle until it's moving. You can't steer a motorcycle until it's moving. And this is what he was saying, God can't steer you. God can't steer you until you just start moving, until you jump in. So you're gonna have to try some things. You're gonna have to get moving so God can show you what his good and pleasing and perfect will is. So let's do this. I want you to take that Servolution card back out and I want you to flip it over on the back. And on the back is your invitation to join us in this Servolution. On the back is an opportunity for you to be a part of what God is doing right here, right now at Christ Church. On the back is an opportunity for you to be a living sacrifice. And it's just a chance for you to sign up. Simple four questions: name, phone number, email, when we can reach you. Because here's what we believe at Christ Church. There is a place for every one of you here to serve. There is. For you, and for you, and for you, and you, and you, and you up in the risers. There's a place for every one of you to serve. And we've put a ton of time and energy. We've put two people now on our staff who are dedicated to nothing but involvement. We've put systems in place. We have built things around this so that we can be prepared to meet the needs, to meet the people who we've already had 75 people sign up this weekend, all right? And we're just beginning. And so we have put things in place to make that happen. And a lot of people have had some questions. They say, well, Jason, how do we get started? The easiest way for you to get started is simply fill your name out today and drop this in one of the plates on your way out the door. That's an easy way to get started. Another way you can get started, you can go to our website, ccontheweb.com/serving/volunteering. There are three great things you can do there. You can sign up there for a test drive. You can sign up there to fill out your volunteer application. You can also go there and do the spiritual gift test. And every one of those will send a direct email to our involvement team, who then will follow up with you. We've put systems in place to make sure that we connect with you. And some of you are thinking, okay, well, what can I expect then? If I sign up for this today, if I go online this week and sign up, what can I expect? Well, here's what I know some of you in this room might be thinking. Some of you have been around a while and you're going, Jason, you said this before and you said someone to call, but no one ever called. Well, you know what? Yeah, we've dropped the ball some in the past. But here's the truth. We have worked hard this year to put people and systems in place so that will not happen again. And so here's what you can expect. You can expect within the next 24 to 48 hours an email to you responding to your sign-up saying, hey, thank you so much for joining the team. Here is your next step. And then what you can also expect is within the next 5 to 7 days, someone from our staff will contact you and have a conversation with you about where you can best be used at Christ Church. Now, if you don't pick up the phone, you don't return a phone call, I can't do anything about that. If you don't return an email, I can't do anything about that. But what we want to do is give you the opportunity to join the Servolution. Now, let me go ahead and address the elephant in the room, because I know the reality of what some of you are thinking right now, because you grew up in churches like I grew up. You're thinking, if I sign up today, I'm going to be stuck here for the next 40 years, right? Doing that same thing, because I know you may have that experience in a former church, and you signed up, they said, the only way you get out is to move or die, all right? But that's not what I'm saying today. What I'm just simply saying is just take the plunge, just jump in and try it out. I mean, we have these great things called a test drive, where you can just take it just like a car and see if you like it. If you want to be a built-in hander out, or you can take a test drive and see if you like it. If you don't like it, you can say, okay, I'm going to take that one back. Let me try another one. We'll work with you on this. And when it comes to how long and how often, I mean, you get to determine that. I mean, once a month, twice a month, every week, 3 years, or three months, 6 months. That was Freudian slip there, sorry, You know, how long you serve is completely up to you. We'll work with you on that. And here's the truth. I mean, I don't want to pressure you too hard today, but I also don't want to back off giving you the opportunity of being a living sacrifice. I don't want to back off giving you the opportunity to join God in what he is doing right here at Christ Church right now. And I know this room has got a lot of good, long-standing servolutionaries, people who have served a long time around here. And maybe you're a little tired, maybe you're a little burnout, maybe you need kind of a fresh place to serve. Just ask. We'll work with you. You're not stuck there forever. But I also know in this room are a number of people who maybe used to serve, but have kind of fallen away from it. Life got busy, you had a kid, changed jobs, had to move, or maybe the kids left home. And now you're an empty nester, and you're like, I don't work with the kids anymore, I don't know where to plug in. You know what I hear a lot from some people that are in some of those categories? They say this, Jason, I just don't feel like I belong at that church anymore. I don't feel like I'm a part of what's going on there anymore. You know the question I always ask them? Where are you serving? Where are you serving? Every single time. I say, well, you know, we got out of it because of kids, we got out of it, whatever. They give me every excuse in the book. And I simply look at them and say, you know what? Get back plugged in. Come back and talk to me in 6 months and see if you don't feel differently. I had a lot of people last two weeks just say, Jason, thanks for giving us as a church the opportunity to take advantage of this. Thank you for giving us a chance to join what God is doing here. Thanks for putting this in front of us in the way you have, because it's important that we all understand that we're in this together. Now, I don't know about you, but Friday nights around Jacksonville, I live right close to a marina. And maybe you see this around Jacksonville. A lot of people love to boat here in Jacksonville, don't they? In fact, on Saturday night service, I can tell when it's a nice weekend because there are a lot of people out boating on Saturday night service, all right? But on Friday nights, here's what I see. I live right down the street from a marina, and I see this all the time. People on Friday nights, they're loading up all their stuff in their boats. They're loading up their ice and their food and their suitcases for the weekend. And then there's always a family who's loading up their stuff, and on Saturday morning, they wake up, and they turn on the tunes, and they eat some food, they cook out, they soak up some rays, and they do that all day Saturday, they do that all day Sunday. And then Monday, they go into work, and they tell their friends, they say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? We went boating. We love to do that. But then there's also another family. Another family on Friday night would go and load all their stuff up and load it up, and Saturday morning, they wake up and turn on the tunes and eat some food, and they get this little itch, like, let's take the boat out. And they'd untie, and they kind of slip out into the harbor, and they kind of putt around. But then they'd look out into the mouth of the river or the ocean, go, whoa, the waves are too big, the wind is too strong, let's take it back in. And on Monday morning, they go to work, and someone would say, what'd you do this weekend? We went boating. Oh, we love to do that kind of thing. But then there's always a third couple. Third couple who come and want to just throw their stuff in the boat as fast as they can, cut the rope, and then they just head out to the open seas. Because they know that that's where the thrills and chills of boating is at. That's where they feel the wind blowing through their hair. That's where they see these magnificent sunrises and sunsets. That's where they know real boating is. So church, let me ask you, of all three of those examples, all three of those couples, who was really boating? And here's the truth. Some of us miss out on the best that God has for us. And my fear is that you're gonna miss out on the most incredible opportunity to connect with the God of the universe when you don't take this step, when you don't take this plunge. Because I'm telling you, the God who gave up everything for us and said, hey, would you offer it all to me? Would you make yourself a living sacrifice? Wants to use you. And I tell you what, when you make that commitment to him and say, I wanna be your living sacrifice, that's where the real thrills and chills of the Christian life are. And I don't want you to miss out on that. So today, I just want to give you that opportunity. Again, with this card right now, go ahead and fill your name out. Put it on the back. On the side, front, just circle what pool you'd love to jump in. And we'll be in contact with you this week. And so here in a moment, we're just going to simply wrap up with a time of prayer. Peter's going to come up, and he's going to offer just one last song. And then as we finish up, I'm going to direct you to drop these cards in as you go out the door. But before you fill that out, or maybe right now you're thinking, I don't know, Jason, I don't know if I have time for this. Maybe right now you're kind of, you're teetering, you really don't know. Let me share with you what somebody wrote last week. Dear Christ follower, my name is Aaron. Now, I may be only 11, but I feel like I need to do more. As Jason said, you serve God when you serve people. I want to do things for the church. I've been going to this church for 3 years, and I've gone to Bible boot camp, and I've gone to Camp Dynamite for 2 years. I was baptized on my 10th birthday at Christ Church. I may sound persistent, but I want to help. I love our church, and I love God. I even took the time to write this note. So if you need it, help is on the way. And listen to how she signed this off. She says, I'm not going to let my age keep me from helping people and getting to know God. That's an 11-year-old who understands what it is to be a living sacrifice, who understands what it means that God of the universe came to earth in the form of a human by the name of Jesus Christ and gave his all. In response to that, she wants to be a living sacrifice as well. Won't you join us? Join the Servolution. Be a Servolutionary. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much just for how you work in our life. And God, we know that many of us in this room would not be where we are right now if it wasn't for people who stepped up to this call, people who made a commitment to be a living sacrifice. And because they did that, God, our lives have been impacted forever. And so, Father, right now, as a church, we just want to cry out to you. And we just want to say, God, how great you are. Because, God, we know how great you are and how wonderful you are and how loving you are. And, God, our response to that should be to be a living sacrifice. So, God, help us today to not only know how we're supposed to dive in or where we're supposed to dive in, but help us today to simply make the decision that we will dive in. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.